from the downtown Minneapolis studios of News Talk 830 WCCO, this is Minnesota's most trusted station for news.
I'm Laura Oakes. We are going to fill you in on what is happening here in response to the action in Washington in just a moment. But first, we have an Amber Alert to tell you about. An Amber Alert has been issued for a three-year-old child who is believed to have been kidnapped along with the mother. It happened this afternoon in Northeast Minneapolis, where police say a man argued with the woman and then forced her and the child into an SUV and took off. The suspect's vehicle is described as blue 2015 Mitsubishi Outlander with Minnesota plates CCG372. Minneapolis police spokesman John Elder.
If people see this vehicle, please do not approach, but rather call 911. It is not believed that this vehicle has remained in Minneapolis, so we are asking people across the 7-county metro area to be on the lookout for this vehicle.
Elder says they believe the suspect and the mother are known to each other. The suspect is described as a light-skinned black man in his 20s, 5 feet 8 inches tall, about 200 pounds. The suspect is believed to have left the Minneapolis area, as John Elder said, but still in the 7-county metro area. Well, protests and counter-protests in St. Paul today after a group of President Trump's supporters made their way from the state capitol to outside the governor's residence on Summit Avenue. They are demonstrating against action in Congress earlier today that started to certify the election in favor of President-elect Joe Biden. They have been waving flags and shouting obscenities, but have otherwise remained peaceful. St. Paul Police Department spokesman Steve Linders says officers are keeping an eye on the situation and are prepared for any potential unrest tonight.
Even though Washington, D.C. is 1,500 or 1,700 miles away, what happens there could impact what happens in St. Paul. So our officers are briefed on what's happening, and they keep their eyes open, and as usual, if they see something, they try to take care of it and make sure everybody's safe.
Governor Walz, meanwhile, with some reassuring words for Minnesotans today.
As you're watching things unfold and as stability gets brought back in, know here in Minnesota that we understand this, that when our politics gets to the point where everything becomes so fractured, it's very difficult, and it's very difficult to run society that way. And so I want to acknowledge that eyes are on what's happening in D.C., but also to acknowledge here that the Minnesota way of doing things is still stable. We disagree on certain things, but our values are the same.
And as the unprecedented situation in Washington continues to unfold, U of M Humphrey School political scientist Larry Jacobs calls what has transpired today shocking and a new chapter of American history.
To have the Capitol storm, to have the president inciting the rioters is something we've never seen in our history before.
Jacob says it's not uncommon for election results to produce some anger. It did for Democrats in 2016. But what is happening is monumental.
What we saw today was, you know, part of the frustration that he has, that he's lost the election and he has no further recourse.
Jacob says drafting the articles of impeachment, as Congresswoman Ilhan Omar tweeted she is doing, is not practical because it takes weeks. He says he is, though, confident there will be a peaceful transition of power and there will be an inauguration on the 20th for President-elect Joe Biden, as specified in the Constitution. Sloan Martin, News Talk 830, WCCO.
And I'm Laura Oakes. We take you back now to CBS Radio News.
Thing we've seen in our long and tortured history as American people. What we have seen is a violent mob storming the Capitol, and it has been, in the words of former President George W. Bush, sickening. He's just released a statement, so I'll read it. Laura and I are watching the scenes of mayhem unfolding at the seat of our nation's government in disbelief and dismay. It is a sickening and heartbreaking sight. This is how election results are disputed in a banana republic, not our democratic republic. I am appalled, says George W. Bush, by the reckless behavior of some political leaders since the election, and by the lack of respect shown today for our institutions, our traditions, and our law enforcement. George W. Bush goes on to say the violent assault on the Capitol and disruption of a constitutionally mandated meeting of Congress was undertaken by people whose passions have been inflamed by falsehoods and false hopes. Insurrection could do grave damage to our nation and reputation, says George W. Bush. In the United States of America, it is the fundamental responsibility of every patriotic citizen to support the rule of law. To those who are disappointed in the results of the election, our country is more important than the politics of the moment. Let the elected officials fulfill their duties and represent our voices in peace and safety. May God continue to bless the United States of America. A rather lengthy statement there from the 43rd President, George W. Bush, who said this week that he would be in attendance at Joe Biden's inauguration on Capitol Hill 2 weeks from today. By the way, on the same platform that the mob overtook today, the platform has been cleared. Police used flashbangs and, frankly, it looked like tear gas to clear the protesters out. It's about 10 minutes after 6 p.m. Eastern Time here in Washington, D.C., and it looks like we have Steve Dorsey with us already. Steve Dorsey, you're still there? You are still there. All right, so I'm sorry. You wanted to jump in with a point.
Yes, a few updates. The most important one is these violent clashes have now turned deadly, with CBS News now confirming that the woman shot inside the U.S. Capitol earlier today, apparently in the neck, has died of her injuries. That's, in addition to the several other people that D.C. Fire, I think their last count was seven or so, have transported for treatment at local hospitals. This all comes, as we've talked about, lawmakers are preparing to resume their legislative business of this joint session. And we get a report from Alan Hee, our CBS News Senate producer, who says that, according to reports, Senators Braun, Cruz, Hawley, and others, this core group of objectors to these records of electoral votes that a joint session of Congress is expected to tally today, are gathered together in a separate room outside of the larger room where the rest of the Senate lawmakers in an undisclosed location are being held. Senator Mike Braun told a reporter that they haven't yet reached a resolution. There's pressure because we understand from another senator, Roger Wicker, that they're trying to come to an agreement among the Senate in that chamber to continue the work on the day that this action is prescribed in the Constitution. Today, of course, it's Wednesday, January the 6th, and that they're having a debate that has been interrupted, and they still want people to make their point in Roger Wicker's words, but also expedite it so that they can get out, essentially, of Capitol Hill and restore some kind of order. So there's a lot of pressure and behind-the-scenes negotiations still occurring in a mood that Roger Wicker says is concerned and not upbeat, Stephen.
Thank you very much for those updates, Steve Dorsey. Just to recap what he began with, that is the fact that the violence at the Capitol today has turned deadly, that a woman who was shot in the neck during the violent scuffles on Capitol Hill has now died. The president has a new tweet in the last 10 minutes or so, and I'm going to read it as it appears. He says, and I quote, "These are the things and events that happen when a sacred landslide election victory is so unceremoniously and viciously stripped away from great patriots who have been badly and unfairly treated for so long. Go home with love and in peace," he writes. "Remember this day forever." Well, I don't think any of us are going to forget this day anytime soon. The President of the United States saying there that these are the things and events that happen when an election victory is stripped away. But it occurs to me, Steve, that we've been through this about 57 times, I think I said today. Today was the 58th. The first American president was elected in 1789. And I'm not sure we've had something like this happen before, which is why it strikes those of us who cover the news and those of us who follow the news, it strikes us right to the core, doesn't it?
It does, because so many of us cherish the American tradition that is not only laid out in the Constitution, but in our political ideology and beliefs that have sustained us for centuries. And like I said earlier, so many of these actions today, these developments, these events, this violence, this mob mentality that we've been reporting on happen in other countries. in third world countries and developing countries and countries driven by strife. And for months we've been hearing about this divide. But today we see it, and lawmakers see it up close and personal in a way they've never seen before. And perhaps this is the turning point, not the presidential election, not the inauguration upcoming in a couple weeks, but this day, that could affect the actions of lawmakers in the House and Senate, and perhaps even the president's closest supporters, the ones who have given him unwavering support, including his most difficult trials and impeachment, to take a stand for something different.
Steve Dorsey, on this painful day here in Washington, this violent, in fact now we know deadly day, where a band of marauders has come upon the Capitol and disrupted the counting of electoral votes 2 weeks before the inauguration of the next president. And he describes, Steve Dorsey does, the way that people who really truly do cherish American values feel about this. And what's also striking is to see the way that those who cherish American values overseas see it. I'll read now from some select tweets from some world leaders. Boris Johnson, the Prime Minister of the UK, describes disgraceful scenes in U.S. Congress. He says the United States stands for democracy around the world, and it is now vital that there should be a peaceful and orderly transfer of power. Jens Stoltenberg, who is the Secretary General of NATO, says, shocking scenes in Washington, D.C. The outcome of this democratic election must be respected. Giuseppe Conte, the Italian Prime Minister, I'm following with great concern what is happening to Washington. Violence is incompatible with the exercise of political rights and democratic freedoms. I trust in the solidity and strength of the institutions in the United States. The Prime Minister of Norway, unbelievable scenes from Washington, D.C. This is a totally unacceptable attack on democracy. A heavy responsibility now rests on President Trump to put a stop to this. Mitt Romney has a statement now. I'll take a look at that for the first time now as it loads on my computer. It's rather lengthy, so let me just pick a couple of sentences from it. We gather today due to a selfish man's injured pride and the outrage of his supporters, whom he has deliberately misinformed for the past 2 months and stirred to action this very moment, morning. What happened here today, writes Mitt Romney, was an insurrection incited by the President of the United States. Those who choose to continue to support his dangerous gambit by objecting to the results of a legitimate democratic election will forever be seen as being complicit in an unprecedented attack against our democracy. They will be remembered for their role in this shameful episode in American history. That, says Mitt Romney, will be their legacy. The statement goes on for about three more paragraphs, so let me see if I can cut to the chase here. Mitt Romney says that the leader McConnell said the vote today is the most important in his 40-plus years of public service. That is not because this vote reveals something about the election. It is because this vote reveals something about ourselves. Mitt Romney says, quote, I urge my colleagues to move forward with completing the electoral count, to refrain from further objections, and to unanimously affirm the legitimacy of the presidential election. Steve Dorsey, you were reporting from our colleague Alan Hee that, in fact, the Senate side objectors were huddling tonight to plan strategy, which suggests that there is some discussion going on about whether to continue with these objections.
I mean, I think the question these senators, these lawmakers are supporting these objections, which is something that the president wants, is it worth it? It's not going to change the outcome because the House is controlled by Democrats. So, you know, the only way to sustain objection is from a majority in each chamber. Well, these objectors don't have the majority of the House. So this is perhaps prolonging a very painful day for a president who continues to, you know, in an unbiased way, factually, turn the country against itself. The president isn't using his own forces to stop this joint session of Congress from tallying these electoral votes. He's using citizens to do it. The vice president said he was unable to carry out the president's wishes. So perhaps the president turned to another source to interrupt this. So now there's got to be an insurmountable pressure on this group of objectors who are huddling, according to our producer, Alan Hee, in an undisclosed part of Capitol Hill, as they try to plot what to do next and what will the consequences be.
Steve Dorsey on Capitol Hill. I don't know if you could see the pictures that I'm seeing, but it seems to be the first elements of the National Guard deployment now arriving on Capitol Hill. I say that, it's hard to tell exactly what agency or unit these folks are with, but they are dressed in combat fatigue, so it strikes me that they might be from the National Guard, like they are. They have full body shields and riot helmets and flak vests, so they're now marching into position in columns. The Capitol Police appear to have the situation on Capitol Hill much more under control, something that they frankly either were not prepared for the scene that we saw today, or the violent besieging of the Capitol. It's fair to say they were not prepared, and some, in fact, they're coming under some criticism from folks who are in the profession of law enforcement, to say that the Capitol Police should have been better prepared. But long story short, the National Guard now at 6:20 p.m. has arrived on scene, and no doubt will play a role in enforcing the curfew that's been set by Mayor Muriel Bowser of the District of Columbia, a curfew that extends from 6 p.m. Eastern Time tonight until 6 a.m. Eastern Time tomorrow. Hillary Clinton, the president's rival from the 2016 election, has a tweet in which she says, quote, "Today, domestic terrorists attacked a foundation of our democracy, the peaceful transfer of power following free elections. We must reestablish the rule of law and hold them accountable. Democracy is fragile. Our leaders must live up to their responsibility to protect it." Now, Hillary Clinton mentioned something there about holding the violent demonstrators accountable, which is a role that would fall in 2 weeks to the incoming Attorney General of the United States. And we learned today that the president-elect intends to nominate Merrick Garland, the longtime appeals court judge here in Washington, D.C., who was Barack Obama's nominee for the Supreme Court in 2016, I should say, following the death of the Justice Antonin Scalia. And as you remember, Mitch McConnell, who held a firm control over this process, said that he wouldn't even hold a hearing for Merrick Garland to be appointed to the highest court in the land. But now President-elect Biden is going to tap Merrick Garland to be the top lawman in the country as the Attorney General, which is a choice that frankly was not expected in the final days. There were other top contenders who were being rumored or talked about, but Merrick Garland, who served for a time in the Justice Department in the 1990s before he was appointed to the D.C. Circuit Court, which is considered the second highest court in the land because it very often reviews the actions of federal agencies. The choice of Merrick Garland means that you'll have someone who, if he's confirmed by the Democrat-controlled Senate, someone who is steeped in all areas of the law, someone who's served on the appeals court for about almost 25 years. One of the things that we've noted today is we've reported that John Ossoff defeated the former incumbent, David Perdue, in Georgia, is the fact that with 50 votes and Kamala Harris as vice president to break the ties that are likely to, or that might occur, that there are a couple of things that the new Senate Majority Leader, Chuck Schumer, will be able to accomplish. And one of the key things is he'll be able to, you would imagine, not have any trouble confirming the new president's nominees to key posts, including the head of the Justice Department. So that's we'll put a bookmark there as you stay tuned for the change of power in the Senate as the Democrats take control. But really, that won't happen for another two more weeks, because for now, and first of all, a couple of things have to happen. The governor of Georgia has to certify that, in fact, John Ossoff and the other Democrat, Raphael Warnock, have in fact won their seats, and there's no reason to believe that he won't certify their victories because they are rather clear. And then you have the fact that it's not until January 20th that Kamala Harris becomes vice president. So even if the Senate majority were to, the Senate Republican caucus were to slip down to 50 votes, until Kamala Harris becomes vice president, well, there's still 51 with Vice President Pence breaking the tie. The extraordinary thing that happened today was Vice President Pence issuing a three-page letter publicly just before the start of the joint session at 1 o'clock Eastern Time, in which he said he did not agree with President Trump that he had the unilateral authority to disregard or reject electoral votes from certain states. And that's a case that the president and his allies have been trying to make in recent days. In fact, Rudy Giuliani at the rally this afternoon said that the Electoral Count Act of 1887, upon which this whole process depends, was unconstitutional, and that the vice president could simply cast it aside. Well, Mike Pence made it clear he did not agree with that, and he put out a statement to that effect, and was even heard on a hot mic saying that the statement ought to go out. So the statement did go out, and that is the word that we've got. I'm watching a pretty interesting video here. I don't know if you can see it, Steve Dorsey, but our correspondent Chris Van Cleve is actually standing walking west of the Capitol towards the National Mall as the police are now starting to, and National Guard, are starting to push some of the pro-Trump demonstrators away from the Capitol. It looks like they're now by the reflecting pool, which is at least a block away. So let's listen to Chris Van Cleve.
Past the reflecting pool.
Right, so past it. Let's listen to Chris Van Cleve as he's on the move.
Until 6 a.m., and as law enforcement is pushing back those protesters, is there any indication that they're saying to them, if you don't disperse now, you will be arrested?
They have not. I have not heard the "you will be arrested" warning yet. What we've seen over the summer, when D.C.'s curfew was in effect, was you would have an effort to push the crowd back, to get people to disperse, and then you'll end up with sort of a core group of hangers-on. That's then when you would start to hear the police say, "If you don't disperse, you will be arrested." They normally give that warning two or three times before they move in and make the arrests. So far, I have not heard that announcement. Just a lot of "move back, move back," and then of course you've got the line of officers with shields and things, which is a pretty good incentive to move. So, and so far, that's what they're doing. They're pushing the crowd back towards Pennsylvania Avenue, back towards the White House very slowly.
Chris Van Cleve, thank you for your excellent reporting, and right there on the ground.
Chris Van Cleve there on what appears to be, as it could be, Madison Street. I'm not sure, but he's other, I think he's on the north side there, north of the reflecting pool, as a group of protesters are being marched off by National Guardsmen and D.C. police as the effort is on now to enforce this curfew that's been put in effect today. CBS's Steve Dorsey on Capitol Hill, just to check in, any sense that you're getting that the situation is ready for the joint session, or rather the debates, I should say, in the House and Senate to reconvene?
Yeah, that's a good question. Every half hour or so, there's some kind of rumbling among the group of journalists I'm with, huddled in the basement of one of these buildings on Capitol Hill, that they've been told to pack up, that things are getting ready to move to some kind of order here on Capitol Hill as lawmakers try to effort a reconvening of this at least joint session of Congress. However, that has not materialized. We have not been told to relocate back up on the third floor of the House gallery, overlooking the House chamber. And this is something that some Republicans, including Steve Scalise, a top Republican in the House, he was injured, I should say, in that a couple years ago during softball practice when a gunman opened fire out in Delray, Alexandria, Virginia. I was there as well. When he has been promising very willfully to return to work. It's unclear yet how and when, but it appears lawmakers are trying to make some kind of efforts to restore some kind of legislative business.
It's it's interesting. They must have been listening at the Speaker's office, because we just got a statement here from Nancy Pelosi. Here's what she writes to colleagues. Today, a shameful assault was made on our democracy. It was anointed at the highest level of government. It cannot, however, deter us from our responsibility to validate the election of Joe Biden. So Nancy Pelosi writes, to that end, in consultation with Leader Hoyer and Whip Clyburn, and after calls to the Pentagon, the Justice Department and the Vice President. We have decided we should proceed tonight at the Capitol once it is cleared for use. Leader Hoyer will be sending out more guidance later today. Nancy Pelosi says we always knew this responsibility would take us into the night. The night may still be long, but we are hopeful for a shorter agenda. But our purpose will be accomplished. So Nancy Pelosi there expressing to her colleagues the hope that Republicans will acknowledge the reality, the practical reality of the situation, the political reality of the situation, too, and say perhaps that the point has been made, and now it's time to just let the people's the choice of electors stand and recognize the fact that there was never going to be any substantive opportunity for these objections would not have been sustained by either the House or Senate.
Right.
So Steve Dorsey, about a minute to go, some final thoughts from you.
I think this is a decisive moment for Congress with this this note from Nancy Pelosi in code saying that the night may still be long, but we're hopeful for not only a shorter agenda, but no objections from these this group of Republicans in the Senate and the House. One final note, she said that Congress has consulted with the Pentagon, the Justice Department, and the Vice President. No mention of President Trump, the commander-in-chief of this country, clearly sending a message that the President is not involved in controlling what's going on here.
And that's not a huge surprise, isn't it? As much as this is a function of the Congress to have the count take place and to hear any objections. The question is, will all the objections that Republicans had planned for today be heard? Stay tuned to this CBS News radio station for continuing coverage of the siege on Capitol Hill, which is now wound down. For Steve Dorsey, I'm Stephen Portnoy, CBS News.
Insurrection.
No, I know.
And it is 6:30 in the east, 3:30 in the west. And for those of you who are just joining us, this is a special report of the CBS Evening News. We are witnessing history and what can only be described as a national disgrace. As we come on the air, the U.S. Capitol is under lockdown after violent mobs, stoked and encouraged by the words of President Trump and his allies, stormed the building while the House and Senate were in session. They were meeting to count the votes of the Electoral College. Supporters of President Trump carrying flags with his name on them broke down doors, smashed windows, and attacked police. Some briefly invaded the Senate chamber. At this hour, at least one person has died. Others have been injured, and at least two suspected explosive devices have been disabled. All of this because President Trump has refused to accept that he lost the election and has falsely told his supporters that it was stolen from him. The process to count the electoral ballots has been halted. Right now, Washington, D.C. is under a mandatory curfew, and police and the National Guard are trying to restore order. It has been an extraordinary day. Congressional leaders have pleaded for President Trump to call off the protesters. Late today, he did tweet a video in which he repeated his false claims that the election was stolen from him, and he called on protesters to go home. President-elect Biden also spoke, and actually spoke before the President of the United States, saying that our democracy is under unprecedented assault. He also said America is so much better than this. At this moment, we are told that the Capitol building has been secured and that the counting of electoral votes may continue later tonight. We have a team covering all of this. I want to go back to CBS's Chris Van Cleve, who is just outside the Capitol and has been amidst it all day. Good evening, Chris.
Nora, the remaining protesters are squaring off with a line of police and National Guard in the street outside of the Capitol. This is a much calmer scene than earlier today, and I think we need to back up to that point when demonstrators, among the tens of thousands of people that were outside the Capitol, climbed onto the scaffolding that's out in front of the Capitol where the inauguration will take place, and then were able to breach the Capitol building itself. That escalated what had been a peaceful demonstration into something we hadn't seen in American history, really. We can show you some video. People breached the Capitol. Once inside, There was a shooting. We understand now a woman has died. There are also some striking photos as both houses of Congress were in session, the House and the Senate. The vice president was there. Multiple people in the line of succession were in the building. That forced both houses of Congress to be locked down. Capitol Police had their guns out, directed at the doors as people outside attempted to get inside. We watched as members of Congress were evacuated, one in a gas mask. Listen to what David Trone, a representative from Maryland, a Democrat, had to say.
And it was time to move fast, and everybody moved very quickly, very orderly, out the doors, into the elevators, into the tunnels. Then we got routed around, so we came up in a secure location, and we're sending bottles of water in, and we're waiting for directions.
We have seen flashbangs be used. We have seen tear gas and pepper spray be used. We've also seen demonstrators throw smoke at police. Right now, we are seeing D.C. is under a curfew. These people are violating the D.C. curfew. They have not been told to go home yet, but the Capitol Police, the Metropolitan Police, the D.C. Police, the National Guard have been moving them further and further away from the Capitol. We are now standing in the street about a block and a half from the Capitol, where the remaining demonstrators are lined up facing police in riot gear. Nora?
Chris Van Cleve, amidst it all, an extraordinary day on Capitol Hill. CBS's Nancy Cordes covers Congress for us. She was inside the Capitol when the mobs began storming in. And I understand, Nancy, we have just heard some breaking news from the Speaker of the House.
That's right, Nora. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has sent a letter to her colleagues arguing that she thinks it's time to get back to the work that was interrupted earlier today when the Capitol was breached. She says in this letter that she has consulted with other leaders, along with the Pentagon, the Justice Department, and the Vice President, and that she has decided that they should proceed tonight at the Capitol once it is cleared for use. And we should be getting more guidance later today about where this will take place. Will it go back to being in the House chamber or some other location? Will the vice president come back to Capitol Hill? Because he's an integral part of this process of ratifying the Electoral College votes and confirming that President-elect Joe Biden was indeed the winner and will be sworn in on January 20th. This was a very frightening day for lawmakers who normally feel incredibly secure in this building. It has multiple layers of security, but this is what it looked like today. This is the first time that the U.S. Capitol has been breached in more than 200 years, Nora. The War of 1812, when it was set ablaze infamously by the British. And perhaps most frighteningly, the House and Senate chambers were locked down once the mob got inside to keep the members who were inside the chambers safe. And yet, protesters managed to get into the Senate chamber anyway, and they nearly got into the House chamber. There was a standoff with police, and we even saw one protester who made it into the office of House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. Some of these lawmakers who were sent to secure areas to shelter in place for hours are still there. Some of them have sent out essentially proof of life videos to tell their friends and their constituents that they are okay. Others urged President Trump to come out more forcefully and denounce this crowd. Take a listen to what they had to say in their own words.
We were just told that there has been tear gas in the rotunda, and we're being instructed to each of us get gas masks that are under our seats.
This is Banana Republic crap. Mr. President, you have got to stop this.
Well, I'm proud of America, but I'm not proud of this. It's extremely disturbing. It's not what you'd expect in the great country of America.
One big question tonight, will the Republican lawmakers who had been gearing up to challenge the Electoral College results in multiple states back down now that we have seen so much unrest today? We know that those lawmakers have been meeting to discuss this, whether they're going to back down entirely or perhaps pare back the number of states that they want to challenge. And we won't know exactly what's going to happen next, Nora, when they're going to resume until those lawmakers have made their decision and conveyed it to the House Speaker and to the Senate's Republican leader, Mitch McConnell.
You described how lawmakers, almost fearful for their lives, for their safety on Capitol Hill, to see the sergeant of arms directing the Capitol Police with guns drawn to protect the House floor there, and hearing from Senator Tammy Duckworth today that a quick-thinking aide decided to gather the electoral votes, which now I understand are in that secure location with the lawmakers?
That's right. And so if this process resumes again tonight, they will continue going over those for certification documents and one by one confirming that either Joe Biden or Donald Trump won various states and then counting up those votes. Nora, this is normally a routine process. 4 years ago, it lasted 35 minutes. And the person who was presiding that at that time, 4 years ago, was none other than Vice President Joe Biden. When Democrats tried to challenge the results like Republicans did today, he shut it down. He said the debate is over, the race is over, the time for debate has passed. Obviously, these Republican lawmakers are getting a very different message from President Trump, who says that the race isn't over at all and that, in fact, he won in a landslide despite all the evidence to the contrary.
All right, Nancy Cordes on Capitol Hill with some extraordinary reporting. Thank you. Want to bring in Major Garrett and Ed O'Keefe. And Major, we heard from President-elect Joe Biden when there was a vacuum in leadership, when all we could see in the country and the world could see was a mob riot scaling the walls of the Citadel of Liberty, the United States Capitol. It was the president-elect Joe Biden who addressed the nation to say that this is an unprecedented assault on democracy.
Correct. And he said the president's words matter. A bad president or a good president, always the words matter. They can inspire or they can incite. And let us be absolutely clear. The linkage between the president of the United States, Donald Trump, and this violence, this grotesque, lawless spectacle of the United States Capitol is direct. There is no ambiguity about that. The president, mere moments before this happened, said in a speech to these very people that the election was stolen and that they had to do something about it. And the warm-up speakers went even farther than that. So the connective tissue between the president's rhetoric, his attitude about this election, his repeated falsehoods about what did happen when it was the most scrutinized, transparent, and well-conducted election in American history, has created not just the atmosphere, but the motive and the intention that played out so malignantly in the United States Capitol today.
Ed?
You know, and there have been instances like this at the Capitol in recent years. There was a shooting situation in 2013. There was the shooting at the baseball practice in 2017 involving many members. But never before, as Nancy said, in the modern age had we seen something quite like this. Perhaps just that 1998 shooting involving two officers there. And never during such an important moment in the transition of power and for American democracy. This is supposed to be the capstone of the 2020 election. This was it. This is the official finale. And what a way for it to end. And I think it's somewhat, it's terrifying, it's disappointing, it's heartbreaking. Heartbreaking is the word I've heard over and over again today from Democrats, Republicans, from people checking in across the country who were just learning of what was going on. It's just heartbreaking.
We started this day talking about what was, in some ways, a civil war going on within the Republican Party. Because that bitterness, that division that has been apparent in Georgia led the party to lose two Senate seats. As CBS News has now declared that the Democrats won both of those Senate runoffs, handing the Democratic Party 50 seats in the United States Senate that will allow Kamala Harris to be the tiebreaker. That has enormous legislative implications, also for who Biden can choose as his appointees. It was what conservatives, what Wall Street business executives were so threatened by, worried about, that now Democrats essentially control the House, the Senate, and the presidency. And that really changes so much about this town. And yet, the blame being placed on the President of the United States and some lawmakers deciding to stick with him and then others deciding it's the end of the Trump era.
We've spent much of the last 2 years talking about divisions within the Democratic Party, ideological, stylistic, generational, gender, racial, nothing as profound as this. There is a total cleavage now in the Republican Party because this was such a profound demonstration of anti-democratic behavior today at the Capitol with the world watching. And I wonder now what on earth the Republican conversation is like. There will be some serious conversation, official conversation with Republican leaders because they're supposed to be meeting this week in Florida,
mm-hmm.
or sorry, Georgia for their winter meeting to figure out party leadership and how you move off this current cycle into the next ones. And you just wonder if those conversations can even continue. One other just bit of news that's come through here. The Senate Democratic leader, Chuck Schumer, telling reporters a little while ago, 8 o'clock when asked what's next. He said 8 o'clock. Not entirely clear, but that would suggest that perhaps they're going to go back into session in the Senate in about an hour and 20 minutes.
All right. And part of that effort then and the Capitol will be secured by the National Guard. CBS News has reported that the Army is activating the entire District of Columbia National Guard, 1,100 troops in response to this request from Mayor Bowser. That being announced from the Pentagon, the acting secretary noting that that was made in consultation with the vice president and leaders of Congress. Notably absent from that conversation was President Trump, which has raised eyebrows. But it looks now like this is going to move forward on the Capitol. There's still a lot of activity on the streets of D.C., despite the fact that the curfew has been in place for some 45 minutes now. So let's bring in CBS News Chief Justice and Homeland Security correspondent Jeff Pagaz. And Jeff, I know you've been there all day. What have you learned from talking to people in the crowd?
Well, most of the people have cleared this scene, and that is good news, obviously, for the National Guard that is set up here behind me, keeping the crowd that is left back from the Capitol. But since early this morning, President Trump supporters have gathered in D.C. They walked down Constitution Avenue to the Ellipse, where President Trump had called them for this rally today. You know, the law enforcement here and D.C. Homeland Security officials expect tens of thousands of people, but this was a massive crowd, and it filled the Ellipse. And as Major Garrett alluded to, there were speeches, including Rudy Giuliani, who talked about trial by combat, and there were other words that inspired this crowd to walk toward this Capitol today, and that's exactly what they did. Even as President Trump was in the middle of his speech, we saw people turning and walking away and heading toward the Capitol. I asked one woman, well, where are you going? And she said, I'm heading toward the Capitol. The speech has inspired me. And so once we got here to the Capitol, you heard people encouraging other Trump supporters to storm the Capitol, to breach the Capitol. In fact, there was a woman with a bullhorn who was telling people to do just that.
We need more men up at the Capitol. We need 80 men at a time to go the tear gas.
Hey, excuse me. What are you asking for?
80 men.
To take our property, to take our land back. We the people find it property.
And so I confronted her. I was asking her why she was encouraging people to breach the Capitol when law enforcement at that point, they were trying to keep people back. But she was telling people, we have a job to do. And she was among a group of people here intent on breaching this Capitol today. But as I said, law enforcement right now, the situation, they have the situation under control. We've seen law enforcement move in, including the National Guard. And they are behind us right now, keeping order on the streets as this curfew is set in. Nora.
Jeff Pagaz, thank you so much. And I want to bring in Ed O'Keefe and Major Garrett, because what we saw today was an extraordinary effort to try and delay or actually thwart what was a process that was to take place within a matter of hours. And now Speaker Pelosi says, you know, we were planning to do it tonight, and we're still going to do it tonight. They're trying to send a message that this is going to happen no matter what.
Moments ago, our viewers saw a tweet from Senator Jeff Merkley, the Democrat from Oregon, talking about the preservation, the quick-minded and quick-witted preservation of the electoral votes and the envelopes in which they were sent to the Capitol. He said in his tweet, if they had not been preserved, the mob would have burned them. So let's be clear about what this is, an attempted mob rule to not only intimidate the United States Congress, but from the perspective of one Democratic member of the Senate,
with the intent to burn the evidence of a duly conducted presidential election in this country with the intense purpose to nullify its results. That is what we're talking about here. That's the consequence we are at least imagining if this thing had gone to the next level. The level it achieved is already repugnant and repellent in our history, but it could have been worse, and from this senator's tweet, much worse than any of us could have theorized, even 6 hours ago.
I mean, yeah, there are other copies of these results, but the symbolism of having done that would have been profound and clearly...
It's not as if they
thinking,
couldn't have been replicated, but
no.
The intent of that and
every
all
state
that
is
it carries
required,
with it.
Yeah, every state's required to make six copies for a reason, and, you know, but the symbolism would have been terrible, and kudos to that quick-thinking aide who, you know, is already Employee of the Year.
And it's also worth noting that the president has denounced his vice president for not being courageous enough to uphold what he wants him to do, which is nullify the election, exercising power he under the Constitution and federal law does not possess. Mm-hmm. Talking about a cleavage within the Republican Party, it exists in the West Wing.
It exists in the line of succession, in essence, tonight.
Yes, it does.
And the fact that we've seen some Trump administration officials put out statements in coordination with congressional leaders.
Speaking of the vice president exercising authority and not the president.
Is a sign of how significant today may have been. Things we have not yet learned.
Today marks also 2 weeks until the presidential inauguration of Joe Biden as the 46th president of the United States that was set to take place on the west front of the Capitol in the era of coronavirus. So it had already been a sparsely attended. And today we saw that mob essentially take the seats there as a symbolic effort and hang the flag of Trump 2020 there. That has since been removed and the process will move forward. But we did see a moment of presidential leadership today because while President Trump was doing something, we saw President-elect Joe Biden come forward live and address the nation, calling this a disgraceful insurrection. Let's listen.
This is not dissent. It's disorder. It's chaos. It borders on sedition. And it must end now.
And a strong message there from the president-elect. And you mentioned this, Major. He talked about words being very important, that in some cases they can inspire. In worst cases, they can incite. And there are both calls from Republican and Democratic lawmakers laying the blame squarely on the president of the United States and his supporters, including Rudy Giuliani and his son, Don Jr., for inciting this violence. And then only after watching the fruition of their words, their marching orders take effect, did they try and tweet out trying to bring it all back.
Yeah, we didn't mean this. We meant the election was stolen. We meant something needed to be done about it, but we didn't mean this. Well, do you think Trump supporters who carried out this action today understood or even pondered that distinction at any level? The quite obvious answer to that is no. And when you play with rhetorical fire, you will be burned. And many, many people in this country have said for months, if not years, that this rhetoric is incendiary and it will get out of control. We saw a manifestation of that today.
All I keep thinking is the message Joe Biden's been delivering over the last 2 years has been remarkably consistent. What words and actions of a president matter. The world is watching us and wondering what the heck we're doing. We've got to get rid of President Trump. It's been remarkably consistent. And every time he has to come out and say it, it seems to be with far more consequence.
And
today, he had to rip up his plans and address this because he realized that there was a vacuum, as you said, a vacuum of leadership in the moment.
And part of his mission, as he said, is to try to begin the process of restoring some measure of, in his words, decency, honor, and respect among Americans for Americans.
All right. You've heard the president-elect, Joe Biden, mention the word sedition. We'll talk more about what that could mean when we come back. We're going to take a quick break. We'll have more of our special coverage here on the CBS Evening News.
Today, when you shop or browse online, your personal information can be exposed. 1 minute it's in your hand, the next it's there, and everywhere, making you vulnerable to cyber criminals. That's why Norton 360 with LifeLock helps protect the info on your devices, your online privacy, and your identity all in one. Your info may be out there, but safety starts here at Norton.com.
And what some would describe as a disgraceful day on Capitol Hill as a mob stormed the Capitol, forcing a lockdown and forcing lawmakers into a secure situation that one lawmaker described to us as a potential super spreader event, as hundreds of them have been packed inside a secure area for almost 3-4 hours as they await the law enforcement to secure the United States Capitol. I mentioned that word sedition that President-elect Trump mentioned. I want to bring in David Becker on that very legal point because he is our election law effort, and talk about those comments today that have been raised about sedition and seditious activity on those who incited this violence.
Yeah, so sedition basically means any activity or conduct that seeks to overcome legal authority, particularly in a democracy. And I think there's a very good case to be made that we've seen activity like that. And that certainly is criminal. It comes with very serious penalties. And it's something, you know, when you see activity that is designed to usurp the natural and peaceful transition of power to a lawful individual, in this case the president-elect, who won an election that wasn't particularly close, that's the kind of thing we're looking at in that case. It's a very serious term and something we should be very concerned about.
David Becker noting, of course, that charge of seditious conspiracy that has been leveled against some. I want to also bring in Nancy Cordes, who is on Capitol Hill, with some new information about what we're going to see tonight. Nancy?
Nora, we're just learning that the Senate is going to resume counting and debating the Electoral College results at 8 p.m. Eastern Time tonight, as senators have been huddling in a secure area in a room in an office building of the Capitol for hours now. Reporters have been holed up there as well. And one of our colleagues, Grace Seegers, who has been there, says that they've just been told that the senators are going to walk back over to the Capitol around 7 o'clock, and they are going to pick back up where they left off at 8 p.m. Keep in mind where we were when all of this went down. A joint session of Congress had been initiated by the Vice President of the United States in his role as the presiding officer of the Senate, and there was an objection to the results from one of the states, Arizona. And when that happens, the House and the Senate break apart. They go to their respective chambers and they conduct 2 hours of debate about that objection. And that is where we were when the protesters, the demonstrators, managed to make it into the Capitol and everything went sideways. And so the Senate is now saying that they're going to pick back up at 8 o'clock and continue that debate. The question is, will any Republican senators who are planning to challenge not just Arizona, but possibly as many as a half a dozen battleground state results, decide that they don't want to do that anymore in light of all the very strong emotions that were stirred up here on Capitol Hill and around the country today? That's what we're waiting to find out. We already know that at least one House Republican, Kathy McMorris Rodgers of Washington State, who had been on the list to challenge some of these states, now says she's not going to. She says that that would disenfranchise voters from around the country, and she's going to go ahead and certify and ratify the results from these various states. So we haven't gotten word yet, Nora, about when the House is going to resume, but the Senate, we're being told, is going to pick back up in about an hour.
And Nancy, you have just so clearly laid out what we are going to see and the drama that still awaits us this evening, because the question is whether those Republican members of Congress will walk back what President George W. Bush has called reckless behavior in objecting to what he called the constitutionally mandated meeting of Congress.
One of the things that these senators who agreed to the objections said was, we need to object because so many people are angry about this election. They've been angered by this election, about this election, by falsehoods perpetrated and repeated by the President of the United States. That anger can be dealt with, but their response is to say, I must yield to it. Well, they have yielded to it, and it has yielded this result. And they now have a constitutional and political decision to make. Having seen the results of that which you yielded to, can you live with yourself?
Can you live as Mitt Romney, one of their colleagues, Republican from Utah, said, your conscience? The question looms.
And I just have to keep quoting the former president because I think he wanted so badly to avoid this moment. He said yesterday he would be attending the inauguration of Joe Biden. I think he cares deeply about the institutions of not only the presidency, but Congress, and said that insurrection could do grave damage to our nation and reputation. Have the institutions here in Washington face that damage today?
To some extent, yes. But let's see how things go once they reconvene tonight, how quickly it's handled, how respectfully, and the message it'll send to the world that there may have been a disruption, but they're getting back to the business of American democracy.
Ed O'Keefe and Major Garrett, thank you. We're going to take another quick break. Our coverage of the assault on the U.S. Capitol continues in just a moment.